for the very good prayer. Appreciate you reading John 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the whole chapter, verses 1 through 12. We appreciate your being here today. Those who have participated in the service already, we're grateful for that. We got a lot of people that are visiting with us today, and we're delighted that you're here. And those that have been, some of you have been sick, not been able to be with us, and you're back, and it's certainly good to see all of you. What a thrill it is to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got up this morning, and I got up a little bit, woke up a little bit early anyway, and I don't know why, but I started going back in my mind when I first started out preaching. And I never will forget when I was at Lipscomb and I went out to Shelbyville, Tennessee. And there's a little congregation out there called Horse Mountain. And I went out there to preach. And there was a man whose name was Herman Bledsoe. He heard one of the first sermons that I ever preached. Later on, he came to me and confessed what he said. He said, I told somebody that day, after listening to Guy McDaniel, if he could make a preacher, anybody could preach. And so when I saw him some years later, and he was telling me the story, and he said, now, just keep trying, Guy. You're going to make it, I think, anyway. After almost 20 years at O'Neill, boy, can you believe that? How have you been able to put up with me for that long? I'm really looking forward to my coming in January and just so glad and so thankful that we have a good congregation in the service of the Lord. And Ann and I have just thoroughly enjoyed it, and we anticipate keep doing that. And we just want you to know how much we appreciate all your encouragement to us. Preaching the gospel is a thrilling thing. When I was at Globe Paper Company at 1506 Superior Avenue, and I was about 22 years of age, I never will forget when I made up my mind. I wanted to go to Lipscomb, wanted to attend college, and I wanted to do someday preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Little did I know how good God would be to us, and I'm so grateful indeed. And so for the duration of the time that we have before January the 1st, too, I want to go back and I want to examine some old lessons of mine and preaching the teaching that we've had over the years together. What a wonderful thing it is to talk about the judgment of God. The Bible states very clearly, if you've got your Bible, you can turn to Acts 17, 30 and 31. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now the New American Standard Bible says, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men that by raising him from the dead. I have all kinds of appointments. Do you? But take for example, what if you have an appointment with Dr. Woodall Tuesday at 2 p.m., Wednesday to check on new tires, 8 o'clock in the morning, to go to the dentist on Thursday at 8:30, to get on an MRI maybe Friday, oh, at the 10 a.m., to attend a wedding ceremony Saturday night at 6 p.m., and to go to a funeral on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Now, let me say to you today, there are a lot of appointments that we have, but I want to tell you that there's one appointment that God tells us about that we need to be ready and make sure that we're ready and prepared for that appointment. The Bible says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we, now he doesn't exclude anybody, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, the New American Standard Version says this: we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether it's good or whether it be bad. One thing I've ascertained from the study of the Word of God, and that is, there will be a great judgment day. And you know, my friends, when you study the Word of God, you find that this is mentioned over and over in the Bible. Here's a few passages of Scriptures where it's mentioned. In Matthew chapter 12, at verse 36, Jesus said, I say unto you, Lord, what do you say? That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof. When? In the day of judgment. Number two, the Bible tells us in Romans 14 and verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set in off thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What? We're going to all be there. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That verse that more and many of us have heard, it says very clearly in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We're going to die. Nobody denies that. And the Bible says that you have another appointment. Everybody does. Who's going to be there? Everybody. Why? The Bible says, after death cometh the judgment. And then in Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, Jesus said. And then finally, Jesus makes it very clear in John 12, in verse 48. Our Lord says, now listen to Him, He's really telling us the truth. He wants us to know the truth. And here it is. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Now notice it. If you reject him, if you reject his words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, Jesus said, the same shall judge him in the last day. Put them all together. What do you have? Matthew 12, 36, in the day of judgment. Romans 14, verse 10, at the seat of the judgment of Christ. Hebrews 9, verse 27, after death cometh judgment. Matthew 24, 36, God alone knows. And John 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Does anybody not believe in the judgment? Oh, somebody says, Brother Guy, we have heard sermons on the judgment. Do you believe it? Do you need we need to repeat it over and over? As I was studying this lesson, I read from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, beginning, and listen to what Peter tells us. Peter says, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Who? Brethren? What are they to do? Give diligence. And then the Bible says, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent, Peter said, to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up and to put you in remembrance. Remembrance of what? Remembrance of the word of the Lord. And remember that Peter said, in knowing that I must shortly put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus has shown me. Next Sunday, I want to preach on living in paradise. I hope you come back and listen to that. I hope today that you'll remember this one. There is a judgment day. You need to be reminded of something you already know. What did Peter say? Knowing that you already know this, I tell you again, I repeat it over and over. I want you to understand. Peter, what do you want him to understand? I want you to understand there is a day of judgment. Wow! And that we all will be there. In 2 Peter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief. We don't even know when it's going to be. What if it came today? Somebody says, don't frighten us. Well, why did the Lord put it in here? You mean when you say something that belongs to the Lord that you're frightening people? Maybe some people need to be frightened if that's it. That's just like a father. Well, he doesn't like to spank his children. Who likes to take out something and maybe a fly sweater or whatever you do to spank your children? But if that's the only thing that's going to get them doing what's right, I hope you'll discipline them. God says, I want them all to be known. I want them to remember. They won't stand before me in the day of judgment not knowing. And you've got to just completely repeat, repeat, and repeat. Yes, he'll come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But Lord, I don't want to think of that. You better, because it's going to happen. You mean I need to? Yes. You mean an old preacher like God? Yes. You mean a young man? Yes. How many have we lost just in the last few weeks? Young people, 14, 16 years of age, going into eternity. We have a bunch that in this congregation that reads the age of accountability. Why are you waiting? If you're not a child of God, you need to be reminded of that great day, because only those who are children of God can have that hope of living with God. In Matthew 25, verses 36 through verse 40, you remember how that Jesus said that all will be gathered before him. And those who were naked, who had been clothed by the disciples, sick and visited in prison, and you came unto me. The idea is this. There is a day. God said it. I believe it. Why do I need to be reminded of it? Because it's coming. And who all will be there? We'll all be there. No exception. What does the Bible say regarding the fate of those who do not follow Christ? Well, what will happen to those who do not believe? Are we concerned about? Oh, yes. Why, we don't want anybody to be lost, and God doesn't either. Well, what will the outcome be for those who've given up on Christ or who have lived in hypocrisy? Let me suggest to you, number one, that as John read to us this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Isn't it interesting that Paul writes a letter to the church at Thessalonica the second time, and in the next few verses, what does he do? He talks about the day of judgment. To whom? To a church? Listen at it. Which is a manifest token, verse 5, of the righteous judgment of God. You mean, Paul, you're going to write a letter? Why won't you try to commend these brethren real well? Paul, why are you saying anything about the judgment of God to these people? There was a reason. That you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffered, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now we're down to verse 8. This letter is now being written by Paul, writing to a church. But why does he keep on over and over telling them what's going to happen? Listen to him. In flaming fire. What? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Will it happen? And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And drop down the last in that day. Question number one. According to verse 8, when Jesus returns, who will he punish? Number one, those who do not know God. And number two, those who have not obeyed the gospel. Who wrote those words? Paul. Inspired of God. To whom? To the church at Thessalonica. According to verse 9, what's going to happen to those people that are not ready, that are not in the book of life? They will have everlasting punishment, and nobody wants that for anybody. Jesus Christ died so nobody would be in hell. And yet, if we reject Him, and we're not ready to meet Him, Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, this is what's going to happen. That's why everybody needs to obey the gospel of Christ. Number two, for this you know, Paul said to the church at Ephesus. Paul is writing as God has inspired him. Listen to what he writes. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You can just blot that out. Nobody that in that condition, if they stay in that condition, has an inheritance. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What's going to happen? Well, the questions are, keep in mind these are addressing believers, by the way. According to verse 5, what will happen to those believers who live in such a manner as Paul describes them? They don't have no inheritance. From verse 6, must we be careful not to be taken by the smooth talk of false teachers who try to say there's no danger in practicing these things as a Christian? Well, there's not anything wrong with going out, having a good time. If you want to engage in immorality, just engage in it. God loves you so much, you'll be saved no matter what. Paul's writing pretty strongly, isn't he? I mean, isn't he talking to Christians pretty straight? What did he say? You know what? No whoremonger. No unclean person. No covetous man. No idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's the day of judgment. And the Bible tells us, don't let false teachers turn the grace of God into a license for immorality. Someone said, but I'm a Christian. Look at the Jews. They were saying, I'm a Jew. I'm of the seed of Abraham. But who did they reject? The Son of God, the Messiah. According to verse 6, the wrath of God will fall upon the children of disobedience. Number 3. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, and you deliberately sin, and you don't do anything about it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Who are you going to turn to have forgiveness of your sins? But the only thing you have left is a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Why would God put that in His book? Why do Christians need to read it? He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. And then look, of how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto Spirit of grace? Look at it, he says, we. According to verse 26 and 27, what will happen if a believer continues to willfully and deliberately sin and not turn away from it. There remains no more sacrifice. God's not going to send somebody else. That's the only sacrifice you have is His Son. But if you deliberately and you willfully continue in a life of sin, what is going to happen in the day of judgment? All you have is a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversaries. According to verse 29, what are those who continue to willfully sin doing? What person in this building would think of counting the Son of God, putting Him out underneath His foot, and counting the blood that was shed, making that covenant an unholy thing? The only thing you have left is a fearful looking for of judgment. Number four and finally, there is a day. There's a day of judgment. Guy McDaniel's going to be there. Everybody at O'Neill that's here today, they're going to be here, going to be there. People who've already left us and gone on into eternity, they'll all be there. There's no exception to the rule. The Bible says clearly, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, the living know that they shall die. And Hebrews 9, 27, it's appointed unto men once to die. But then you've got the judgment before you. I'm looking forward, though, aren't you? To be able to hear the Lord confess me before Him. Every one of you should rejoice and be thankful who are Christians. Just like Dawson last Sunday, I asked him, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And he said, I do. And then he was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. Fine, young 18-year-old man. Friend, how about you? Is there really going to be a judgment? A judgment day of God? What did we say from Acts 17, 30 and 31? The times of his ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Do you have to? Oh, yes. Why? God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath appointed, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Simple sermon. I hope it's scriptural. If I've said something wrong, show me by the scriptures where I'm wrong and I'll repent. Do you really need to be reminded of it? Peter said, yea, I think in me, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up, stir your remembrance up, over and over and over again, preaching just the truth, the Word of God. In conclusion, the Bible tells us that Paul was speaking to the elders of Ephesus. He was at Miletus, called the elders together, and what did he say to these brethren? Well, the Bible tells us, take heed unto yourselves, and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For he said, I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among them, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. But right before he told them that, if you're checking in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, you will note these words of Paul, where Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I want to know when I'm wrong, don't you? I want to be right. The judgment day is for those who haven't made things right, those who are not in Christ, or who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ and know not God. Is it real? When will it be? I know it's real, but I can't tell you when it will be. But I can tell you one thing. I want to be ready, don't you? I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, that your heart will yield yourself to Jesus and crown Him Lord of Lords and let Him hear you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you're in this assembly this morning and you're a Christian, but you know you're not ready, your record will be read, all will be there, you can make it ready. God will blot out your sins as you repent and as you confess them before God, asking His forgiveness. Oh, brother, sister, alien child, won't you this morning believe there is a judgment day of God and be ready and be prepared. There's a great day coming for those who are, but a sad day coming for those who are not. Stand now, let's sing that song. And if you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, won't you come this morning?